Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mundus.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Monday. Beautiful day in the neighborhood. Nanny Mazur's in the house.
Good to be seen.
How have you been?
I've been good. Been good.
What's new? And don't leave a single thing out. I haven't seen you in a month.
Yeah, let's see. Nothing really, to tell you the truth.
After the last time I saw you, you went home.
I did go home.
What happened?
And I didn't come back until today.
Pretty much catches us up.
There you go.
Reminds me of my brother and I last weekend when we were traveling to New York. Drove to New York and drove back.
Boys road trip they had.
Nice.
And, you know, somebody asked, well, what do you talk about? Do you share your feelings? And I said, yeah, watch. How you feeling? Mickey said, fine. I said, there you go. We just shared our feelings.
There you go.
And that's what you do.
Are you good?
I'm really good, thanks.
All right, that's about enough out of you right
now. Women would take the entire road trip and still need more time.
Yes, that's exactly right. Part of your charm.
Yes, thank you.
At 6:14, Dr. Kevin Most celebrated a birthday on Saturday.
Oh.
I think it was Saturday.
Cool. Nice.
And we missed it. Well, that's what we do around here. We miss birthdays.
Yep.
This cake's going to be tougher, Vanderbilt.
For Doc Most?
Yeah, we're going to need a cake, and then you're going to need to drop it off out in Wheaton.
Well, that's closer to me than downtown.
Actually, that's fair, isn't it?
Wait, but we won't get to partake in the cake then.
Grzanich smells cake and he floats out to it like a cartoon character.
Like one of those Macy's Thanksgiving Day balloons.
Did somebody say cake?
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
Told you.
I suppose he likes a healthy cake too, like Dave.
Say he claims that, but I'm sure he'd go for, you know,
in that
your
case,
specialty.
You can just take it to Wheaton.
Yeah, if it's going to be another one
not
of those
kale
cakes.
Not doing a kale cake.
Yeah.
I don't think ever again.
Kale, get rid of it.
Thank you.
It was brutal. I mean, it was good. Mary made it.
You never even tasted it, of you.
I did taste a little bite.
It was good. I actually ate it.
Good, yeah.
Yeah, it was actually good.
See,
very moist.
There's the one.
Good for you. We knew there was one. We knew there was
Steve
one.
Steve Alexander had two pieces.
Did he?
Yes, he did.
Well, good for the two of you.
And Bennett had a piece.
Did he?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And Dave Bennett had a piece.
All right. That's probably enough information on the kale cake. At 6:15, Brooks Koepka wins his first major, wins a, you know, it should have been more exciting than it was. I don't know. I sort of feel bad for Aaron Hills.
Yeah.
The USGA setup, the weather was too good. You know.
It started off weird with the blimp crash, too.
The blimp crash was awful.
Yeah. And then the water problem and the drinking fountain.
What?
Had an E. coli thing in one of the drinking fountains.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, either.
E. coli at the
Nice. There was some stuff going on.
Wow, that was underreported.
Yeah, it was way underreported.
However, Joe Buck did misidentify Brooks Koepka's girlfriend after the tournament. And for anybody that's ever said, oh, is this your wife? And then had that look like, no, and then heard, no, I'm not his wife. That was awkward. As was, honestly, the post-game hug situation.
Yeah,
that was very strange.
They seemed to like each other very much.
Brooks
it was weird.
Koepka walks off the green. He kisses the girlfriend, who's a model actress. She starred in the world-famous 50-foot cheerleader movie. Jenna Sims, I think is her
Jenna
name.
Jenna Sims.
He kisses her like a sister.
Uh-huh.
And then he puts a bro hug on a guy like he wasn't ever going to let go 4 feet later.
Right.
So I don't know what's going on there, but I don't think the future is so bright for Jenna Sims.
I don't think so.
No.
Joe Buck's producer didn't put the right card in front of Joe Buck because Joe Buck went on and on about this being his soccer-playing girlfriend who he apparently broke up with several months ago.
Right.
Wrong.
Yeah, not good.
Dope.
Not good. And then the other big events of the weekend, of course, are much more important, and that's that London's been hit again. And the naval travesty that happened, bodies have been identified, and the Bill Cosby trial's over. We'll get to all of that in the top six at six in a second. First, traffic from Mary. Got a Sunfield out there again.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Delays, of course, with the sun coming in on the Eisenhower, and traffic sponsored by Home by Verizon. Already up to 50 minutes in from 53-36 from Mannheim. Outbound, of course, is not too bad. The outbound Edens is looking good so far. Up on Kennedy, up to 42 out to the airport with airport delays. And inbound, about 26 from O'Hare. Inbound Stevenson, 38 from the Tri-State, 50 from 355. Slow into 83. Inbound Ryan's at 20 from 95th. Reported car fire inbound Bishop Ford at 130th. 57 is slow in from 115th. No big tollway delays. That accident cleared Congress and Independence. Now an accident in Broadview, 17th and Cermak. Get answers before you have questions with vehicle diagnostics and more. Hum by Verizon is the technology that connects you to your car. Learn more at hum.com. For traffic on the 7s or 8s or anytime on demand, get the Traffic Chicago app. Just search TRAFFIX Chicago. Mary Vanderbilt, WGN Traffic Central.
By the way, we need to put out an all-points bulletin for Holly Saunders from Fox Golf Coverage. She disappeared yesterday.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
What happened to her? Where'd she go?
I don't know. I mean, she must have been in the fescue.
Was she lost in the fescue?
She was lost in the fescue.
In the heather.
Ah, because you would think, based on the certain size ranges of...
Of her.
Giant boobs. How could you lose her in the fescue?
It was a really tall fescue.
Yeah, it's big.
All right, here's your E. coli update for point of accuracy. No one died?
No. Nobody even got sick. Just a quick clarification here. There was E. coli bacteria found at a hydration station Thursday at Erin Hills.
What's right, a hydration before station? Even played. A water
fountain? It's a water fountain, okay. Basically, yeah.
A bubbler.
They said that absolutely no incidents of illness had been reported. They did have trace samples of E. coli in that water station on the 12th hole, but they closed it down before anybody got to it. That being said, a couple of people might have taken, a drink from that water fountain,
so
even though it was closed.
Went to the U.S. Open on Thursday and were sick all day Friday and thought it may have been the cheese curds.
Right.
Maybe it wasn't.
The incubation period, they say, is usually 3 to 4 days after.
Oh, that's going to hit today.
If you don't get it, yeah, today you'll be fine.
All right, fine.
They say no reports of any illness at all.
I played golf yesterday with a friend of mine who actually went to the Open on Thursday. Said he had a blast.
That's awesome.
Said it was great. He said the USGA did a great job getting people in and out of the property.
Mm-hmm.
Did he drink any water?
No, but I wouldn't have known, right? Because the incubation period would have been today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So who knows? Today he could be, in the hospital. All right, at 6:20, Dr. Kevin Most in about 20 minutes. Let's take a quick break, come back, and the top six at 6 is next on 720 WGN.
Carrier asks, what does comfort mean to you? We know it means more than just the temperature. And the people who invented modern air conditioning keep inventing new ways to make you comfortable. Carrier, turn to the experts.
Call your local factory authorized dealer today for hassle-free financing and total savings up to $2,300 when coupled with utility rebates. Call 855-GET-COMFY or visit CarrierDealer.com today. That's CarrierDealer.com.
What's better, saving time or saving money? What if you can save time and money while having fun doing it? That's Goods Furniture in Kewaunee, Illinois, celebrating its 122nd year. Goods is an easy drive west on I-80 through the rolling prairies of western Illinois. At Goods, you'll find the best selection of furniture in the Midwest, as well as a charming wine cellar restaurant and European-style bed and breakfast, all conveniently located in Goods' historic 12-building campus, all connected by glass elevators and glass skywalks. Plan your trip to Goods today.
Play ball, celebrate the Cubs with team memorabilia, exclusive books, and so much more. Visit ChicagoTribuneStore.com today.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60-Minute Man.
We should get a hydration station in here. Sounds so much better than can I get a bottle of water.
A bubbler?
American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, 60-Minute Man. Thank you as always. London hit again. The authorities there are calling it a terrorist attack. Prime Minister Theresa May spoke about 20 minutes ago and did say specifically that. This seemed to be a retaliation to the previous attacks because it was an attack on a mosque in London. And we now have the same effect we have on airplanes here. And we say with confidence it's very unlikely that terrorists are ever going to be able to take over an airplane and crash an airplane here the way they did on 9/11. Because if you have able-bodied grown-ups on an airplane, they will go Flight 93 on all of them.
Mm-hmm.
This case went down that way because how do you stop a car? they took the guy that drove the car into the crowd, killed one and injured 10,
mm-hmm.
and dragged him out of the car and held him.
How about that?
Until
the police got
there.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's the kind of message that needs to be sent, that the public, which will be the first responders in any case because they're the victims, would do this. But as of now, London's been hit three times in 3 months.
I think less than that, 2.5 months.
So there you go. Next, one of the president's lawyers said on Sunday that Donald Trump was not under investigation. He then went on another show and said Donald Trump is under investigation.
Isn't it? This was the weirdest weekend with with responding to this, because he put his own tweet out on Friday saying I'm under investigation.
Right. And Jay Sokolow, or Sokolov, one of those two, shows up on Jake Tapper first on CNN, says he's not under investigation. Jake Tapper rolls his eyes and, you know, nearly snaps.
Yeah.
And then he ends up with Chris Wallace on Fox, says he's not under investigation. And then inexplicably says he's under investigation in the next sentence.
How about that? I saw the Jake Tapper interview. I didn't see the Chris Wallace. And I thought, so after watching Jake Tapper, I thought, okay, well, he admitted it. Then a few, you know, hours later, the buzz comes on the phone. Oh, he says no.
Chris Wallace, called Jake Tapper and said, we should quit. We should just quit today.
The Chris Wallace one was the best, though, because Chris's head was about ready to explode.
Well, I don't know.
It's just hilarious.
It's watching. Like Jay Sokolow, I think.
Yeah, right.
Jay Sokolow wasn't even listening to what he was saying. Like, he is under investigation. No, he isn't under investigation. Which is it?
You know, there's a place where they take the airplanes, the Boneyard. They should have that for the journalist whose head explodes.
Yeah.
Like Anderson Cooper, Tapper.
Well, who's going to quit first, the lawyers or the journalists? Because if you're a lawyer for Donald Trump, I don't know how you'd be. This is the reason they can't staff the White House and staff the administration. Nobody wants to work for him.
Well, yeah. You tell him not to tweet or not to do something, and he does it anyway.
Right. And then he asks you to clean it up.
Well, how do you defend that?
Yeah, I'm going to go out. I'm going to destroy something, and then I'd like you to rebuild it.
Right. Fix it. The fixer.
Next, a U.S. warplane shot down a Syrian jet on Sunday near the ISIS-held capital of Raqqa. The latest escalation between the U.S. and Syria and that ridiculous civil war that's going on now for more than 6 years. The Pentagon said the U.S.-led coalition took a step after a Syrian aircraft attack and a bombing of allies for whatever period of time that bombing run took. Mm-hmm. This was literally a United States and Iran-led effort.
Yeah. Exactly.
We were together with Iran.
And remember, because Iran had their first terror attack in that country less than 2 weeks ago.
This is why it's so messy.
Mm-hmm.
So messy, because your friends are your enemies or your friends.
That's just it, though. Who do you trust? Okay, we did this mission with Iran. Then they were attacked 2 weeks ago. Going forward, do you trust them?
No. You fly the mission with them, and then you land the planes, and then you go, we don't talk anymore.
Right.
So
it's kind of like a relationship.
This naval story over the weekend is awful. Naval vessel that is minding its own business, not hurting anybody, 1 o'clock in the morning, sailors asleep, and is rammed by a cargo ship. The cargo ship struck the captain's quarter specifically and devastated the lower portion of the ship. Incredibly, with no lights and with no communication equipment, those on the ship that survived were able to save the ship and save who knows how many lives, because pretty much everybody was asleep as water poured in below. The 7 bodies of those sailors, ranging in age from 19 to 37, were found about 24 hours later.
There was a 19-year-old from downstate Illinois who was one of those who kept going back in the water to try to help.
Incredible.
He survived, but he was trying to help.
Incredible.
There's a new development in this morning. The Japanese Coast Guard is wondering why it took more than an hour for either the destroyer or the container ship to report this to the Japanese Coast Guard, which could have responded immediately and been there to help a lot quicker, but nearly an hour.
Well, it had to be the container ship, based on what we know, because the destroyer's communications were knocked out.
Yeah.
Right. One of them, you know, I can't imagine that the destroyer would have no communications at all.
Well, I don't know. They're 57 miles out to sea. You know, if they're, you would hope that... that there would be backups to the backups, right?
That would
logically make sense.
Right.
So I was a big investigation going on there, but loss of life and ridiculous. By the way, it took the president 24 hours to respond in any way, shape, or form in almost 24 hours, and that was only by tweet and hasn't said anything since then. Next, road work already slowing down over the state budget mess. Contractors have been told to hold off needed destructive work. We're not going to destroy anything else and put up cones, because we might not do anything as of, what, the end of the month?
Right, June 30th.
Tear it up, old asphalt, taking down a bridge. You know what? I mean, this is the stuff we could do as citizens. It's fun to destroy things.
Yeah.
Oh, no, please
yeah,
don't.
I mean, if we had, like, Andy and I could take a sledgehammer out, it might be fun today.
I think they already did that on Addison Street.
So, the Cosby trial and a hung jury ends over the weekend. The DA says he's going to go after it again. And Brooks Koepka, as I said, won the U.S. Open. More on that to come. American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men, bring you the top six at six, and you can win a desktop indoor weather station. At least that's the name of it. Be the sixth caller now, 312-981-7200. Thank you, American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, 60-Minute Men, 628. Dr. Bo's coming up, 720 WGN.
Woke up after midnight, both my neck and arms were sore.
This wasn't really going to be a theme song.
On my upper lip, there's a growth I've never seen before.
This is just John singing in his sleep, and his wife recorded it.
And I wish that there was someone I could call.
The whole thing, just all of this, it all came out in his sleep.
WGN Hotline. I have edema on my thigh. Pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
So nasty. Dr. Kevin Mose joins us. Happy birthday, buddy.
Fungus on my toe, and I need you.
Let me try that one more time. Good morning, Kev.
Hey, you there?
Yeah, happy birthday.
Thanks. You know, it's my brother Kurt's birthday as well.
Oh, today?
No, 17th. We're both our birthdays are June 17th.
All right, so Kurt texts me to remind me it was your birthday. Never mentioned his birthday.
Yeah, how about that? We were born the same day, 2 years apart.
How about that? How about
cool.
The fact that Kurt's such a giving brother?
Very nice. Your mom was probably going, oh, thank God. Now I don't have to remember. I can only have to remember one date.
Yeah, well, plus there's 37 kids.
Yeah.
You know? Well, but I also, you always used to say, and it's not true, so I'll come clean right now, is Kurt loved angel food cake as a child. I loved devil's food cake as a child. So I always used to say that Kurt always got cake and I didn't. But in all honesty, my mom used to make two cakes on that day for us. So.
How about that?
That's sweet.
Yep.
Your mom's
yep.
the best. Your mom's well, the best. Really, your sister's the best. You brothers, I'm not sure on.
It was really bad when it fell on Father's Day because my dad liked butterscotch pie.
Oh.
So she had to make two cakes and a butterscotch pie when the 17th fell on Father's Day.
Poor thing. She's in the kitchen going,
There's a thing about that generation of men. Like my dad and your dad, I think we're about the same age. And my dad liked butterscotch and peanut brittle and like weird yeah. flavored ice cream and stuff.
Right, tapioca.
Was there no chocolate in the 30s and 40s?
Right.
Yeah, my dad loved that tapioca pudding.
What
oh,
was with all
the all
weird,
the
goofy flavors that generation of men loved?
I don't know. The butterscotch is weird, too. And butter pecan.
That's why they're in better shape. They couldn't get chocolate.
Like, instead of chocolate ice cream, it was always like butter pecan, you know, different flavors.
Yeah. And praline this and
right.
whatever. Did you get anything special for your birthday?
I did not, but that's perfect because I have plenty of things.
Yeah. So you're the guy that makes it tough for the rest of us because you are actually hard to buy for.
Yeah. Well, you know what? As I tell people, I would rather have your time and your friendship than any gift.
So. Well, that's great. I'll give you that anytime you need.
Yeah.
All right. At 6:40, we hope you learn something when we talk about people on this show that have medical things. I'm going to talk about me for a second. Tomorrow morning, or I assume it's tomorrow morning, I'm going to have something called an IVC filter removed.
Yep.
Now, this was something that was dropped in me on a bungee cord back in April when it was determined that I had a pulmonary embolism, a blood clot in my lungs, that due to something called an antithrombin 3 deficiency, even though I find it hard to believe there are any more deficiencies than I'm already aware of, which is a propensity to maybe have blood clots and blood clot problems. So they put the filter in, Doc, which my understanding is it's like a little umbrella. They pop the umbrella, and if there was a blood clot that tried to travel to my heart or lungs, it would be stopped by the umbrella. Is that all correct so far?
You're right on so far. Yep.
All right. So how do they get it out? C3, a little explosive? What do they do?
Right. So if you think about this, like Steve was saying, you know, the big concern is when you have a clot that they know is there. You had a clot behind your leg. And they say, wow, that clot can move. Well, if it moves, what can we do to stop it? just for visualization, think of like a pasta colander, you know, that you put the pasta in and you pour the water.
Sure.
You're
familiar with
right?
that? Yeah.
So we put one of those inside your body, inside your vena cava. So they go in through your leg and they put that up and they open up essentially this colander so that if a clot were to leave your leg and go to your lung, we're going to stop it there. And we're going to allow the body to slowly reabsorb it and to break it down so that a large clot doesn't go there. So what they're going to do is they're going to go in now and they're going to close that umbrella up and they're going to pull it back out because now that clot is essentially gone and is not harmful or not has a possibility of doing something bad to you.
Well, and I'm on a medication that I'll be taking in all likelihood for the rest of my life.
Yep.
Which a lot of people are called Coumadin.
Right.
Yep.
Blood thinner.
But it's okay now because I'm at a therapeutic level of Coumadin. You can tell by looking at me. So there's a safety measure or a level of confidence among the doctors that they can take out my friend, the little umbrella.
Yes.
The colander.
Correct.
So how do they get it out? Is it fishing? Do I open my mouth? They throw a hook in? What do they do?
No, they're going to go back in through your leg, and then they're going to go back up to where it's at, and then the technologies of these is just unbelievable.
Well, they went in through my neck, so they'll go through my leg this time?
Oh, no. Okay, if they went through your neck, they're going to go through your neck again.
Oh,
yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
So you'll literally have a pain in the neck that day.
Right. All right, now here's the biggest question. Am I going to be able to golf on Wednesday if I have this done tomorrow?
Oh, jeez.
I think that they may let you. We'll see.
Why don't you wait till Thursday? Why don't you wait a day?
Well,
I'm sorry.
Because, there's Wednesday, I had a plan.
Sorry, what a dumb question.
Yeah.
Hey, I have a question, though, about your Coumadin, because you're going to be on Coumadin now, and they alter the levels, right? So whatever dosage you're on now, maybe in a month you'll be on a lower or higher dose, right?
Well, they feel like they've got it right now.
Okay.
Yeah, because you have to stay between it. There's an INR level, which Doc would know what an INR level is.
So what they will do is they will continue to monitor that, and you're absolutely right, Andrea. We have things actually called, Steve will be going to something called the Coumadin Clinic, where he's going to get his blood drawn, and someone is going to look at that result and say, okay, take this amount of Coumadin today, take this amount of Coumadin. So it's not like one dose works the same for people all the time for the rest of their lives. You'll continue to have that monitored, and there'll be changes made of your dosing. So,
and here's the cool thing. You go in for a blood test once a month, you know, once you're stable, and even though it may not sound like it, I'm stable. But now I can do that blood test thing at home.
You can test your own blood.
Yeah, there's a
little
machine.
Yeah,
a little machine. You know about this?
Yeah, because diabetics do this as well. My friend has one of these to test her blood sugar. I think it's.
I didn't think
sugar?
About that. It probably is a similar machine.
Yeah, I think.
Yep.
Right, Doc?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very similar.
Yeah.
So it saves you the hassle of driving your car to a clinic to get actually the blood test done. Some people still will do that. But the biggest thing is going to be to get those results in and that someone looks at them and make sure that your dosing is appropriate.
Right.
That's
you pop
cool.
a little card,
another blood clot.
You pop a little card in and the results go straight, you know, wirelessly.
And then they tell you if you alter your dose or not.
Right.
Doc, that's good.
Yeah, the doc calls up and goes, okay, you're fine. Leave us alone.
Yep.
I get that from a lot of doctors. Leave us alone now.
And the nurses, too.
Yeah. At 6:45, we'll get back with the birthday boy in a second. We got some other summer topics we need to hit, including a reminder on sunblock and things of that nature for those of you who asked 8 million questions after Doc talked about it last time. Text or questions if we get time, 312-981-7200. First, let's get to traffic, and here's Mary. Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better. By making medicine better, Dr. Kevin Most is with us. And let's talk a little summertime. What about bug bites?
Yeah, you know, when we get here to summer and we talk, you know, we've already touched at least a little bit on, you know, skin protection and what we should do there. We talked a little bit about dehydration. But, you know, the other big thing that we see a lot of people coming into clinics for, emergency departments and private primary care offices, is bug bites, insect bites, because you've got mosquitoes out now, you've got ticks out, and you got spiders that are around. And I think people should just know a little bit about them so that we can understand what's serious, what we need to worry about, and what we can treat at home.
All right. So what's one that you don't need to worry about?
Well, you know, the biggest thing is the vast majority of them you don't need to worry about. So we're going to get bitten by many different insects. For the most part, they're going to cause irritation, right? You're going to get that redness. It's going to cause you to itch. But really, it's not going to do too much beyond that. But each time we get bitten by something, we have the opportunity for bacteria, viruses, and other toxins, other kind of saliva from these animals to get in, which causes an irritation in the skin. That causes us to release histamine, which is what makes us itch. The more we itch, unfortunately, we break the skin, then we have a higher chance of an infection because the skin is broken.
How about bee stings?
Bee stings are the same. Bee stings are terrible, right? We really don't like them. People that are allergic to bee stings, much more serious. Those are the people that this is the time to make sure you have your EpiPens around. But for the most part, bee stings, again, are going to be a hassle and inconvenience, causing more pain than itching, but really don't cause much as far as infections and bad medical issues.
Why does the itch feel so good and the after itch make it itch more? What sort of trick is that?
Yeah, how about it? Histamine, you know, it causes you to itch. So while you're itching, it's like, oh, man, this feels good because it's telling your brain you're doing exactly what the body is asking you to do. The bad thing is contact like that causes the release of more histamine. So as you're itching, it feels good. You stop, more histamine's released, and the itching comes back in full fury. Same with heat. If you go in and take a hot shower, it feels so good when you're in the hot shower. Unfortunately, the heat causes more histamine to be released. You come out and you're itching even more.
That's how they get you, as our dads would have said. All right, so when does a little red, a little puffy, when does that turn into something you ought to see a doctor for?
Yeah, so sometimes, you know, if you do break the skin and then we get concerned about an infection. So if the redness continues to grow outside of the area of the bug bite, then we're concerned. If you start to see any red streaking, go up towards your up your arm, up your leg, towards your heart, any of those, that is more concerning. That can be a bacterial infection, so definitely get in for those. For the most part, like I said, you're not going to have much of those issues. But if you do start to see the redness growing, warmth and streaking, definitely get in because we get concerned about MRSA, which is that bacteria that's resistant to a lot of antibiotics. We want to make sure that we take care of that.
So I've been told, and you spend some time on the golf course, I do as well, that this is the year to watch out for ticks.
Yep.
We had an easy winter and we've got more ticks than ever. If you don't have Brad Paisley near you to check you for ticks, what do you do and how do you know you've got a problem here?
Yeah, and you know, it's kind of interesting. U.S. Open just held at Erin Hills, and I'm sure you watched parts of it. If I went to the U.S. Open, when I got home, I would have checked myself for ticks. Why? You're in the middle of deer country up there. Two, you're walking through this high grass where these deer ticks sit. And so it is, you know, the Brad Paisley song, Check You for Ticks, is a great idea, to be honest with you. Because unfortunately, the ticks that we're talking about that can cause Lyme disease, which is the one we're most concerned about, are not these huge wood ticks and not these big ticks that it's very obvious when you see them. It's actually the deer tick, which is fairly small. But definitely, if you're out in high grass, if you're out on the golf course and you hit the ball in the rough quite a bit, like some people we know, then definitely.
He means me, by the way.
He's talking about me.
Yeah. Definitely, you know, when you're done, check yourself for ticks.
Anybody can hit it out of the fairway. Hit it out of the rough.
There you go. Hey, we have to ask about West Nile, too. I know there was one confirmed case downstate. Is that going to be an issue again? And symptoms for that, Doc?
It will be. Let me go back just really quickly to Lyme disease, because it's probably one that's pretty important. If you think about Lyme disease, the one thing you need to know about Lyme disease is look for the bullseye rash. If you get a rash that starts to look like a bullseye, get in to your doctor. Because Lyme disease, when caught early, can be treated very easily with simple antibiotics, but those that aren't treated can go on to have neurologic and heart problems. So if you see a bullseye rash, even if you weren't around ticks for the past couple weeks, because it can come up to 30 days later, if you see a bullseye rash anywhere in your body, get in. You won't know that you had a tick bite, but that's a sign that you really want that checked.
You know, and we usually talk about pets. Can pets bring a tick indoors?
Absolutely. So make sure all your dogs have tick disease medicine right now. The vast majority of those are going to be a medicine that if you give them orally, the tick bites the dog and then dies. So if the tick is just sitting in the hair of the dog, it can easily be transmitted in. So be really careful. Check your dog after you've had him out in the woods or after you've had him out in a field.
Of course, we hear hair of the dog.
Hair of the dog, something different.
Yeah, completely different.
All right, so the West Nile mosquito thing, are we in danger here?
Yeah. You know, just the same reasons that the tick season is going to be bad, West Nile could be bad. You know, West Nile It's a disease that's a virus, unfortunately, not a bacteria, so there's no treatment for it. But it's transmitted by mosquito bites. So we have plenty of mosquitoes this year, and we will continue to have more, especially with weather like what we're having right now. The weird thing about West Nile is that about 80% of people have had West Nile and don't even know it. They get no symptoms, or they get very minor symptoms. They get a little body ache, but it goes away. 20% are going to get the headaches, the body aches, the joint pain, the vomiting, and that can last for weeks or months. And then 1%, which is still a substantial number, is going to get severe illness where they can end up in a coma with neurological problems.
And what is the Powassan virus?
So it's a virus that's very rare, but unfortunately increasing. And when we say, well, who cares? If you look at what's happened with Lyme disease as well as West Nile in the increase of the trajectory of how many cases we've had, it gets to be a little scary, right? When you look at West Nile, the first cases were in 1999. Now it's all the way across the country. In Lyme disease, first case in the United States, 1975. Now it's all the way across the country. So the Powassan virus is unfortunately this virus that we haven't seen much of, but unfortunately it's increasing as well, and it comes from a tick bite. And the bad thing is that this has much higher incidence of severe neurologic problems, memory losses and seizures, and there's no treatment, just like West Nile, there's no treatment. And when the numbers are that small, we don't see people running to say, let's make a vaccine for it.
Right, because they can't make any money off it. How do you get a tick off if you see a tick on you?
Yeah, that's a great question. So taking the tweezers and trying to get as close to the head as possible and ease them back out. Some of them, little guys, they're going to hang on. And sometimes, unfortunately, as you pull, you might pull their head off. And that's okay. But just make sure that when you go.
It's not okay for the tick.
Correct. It's not okay for the tick. But when you do go back, then you can scrape it off. But then really wash it well with warm, soapy water in that area, and then mark that. Actually, I usually tell people, take a marker or a pen and put a dot there and just leave it alone, because that's going to be the area that you're going to be concerned about for the rash.
And when you pull the tick off, you see like two little bite marks, yep. Sort of?
Yep. They have two little prongs for their teeth, essentially. That's how they're attached.
But it could be nothing.
Could be nothing. Absolutely. A vast majority of them are nothing, especially okay. The ones that you see, those large ticks. And some people say, you know, you can take and put heat next to them and then they'll back out. Other people say you can put nail polish remover and they'll back out. That's fine. But if you have tweezers, it's much easier just to remove them.
Or if you're on a golf course, just have a friend take a 6-iron and just take a whack at your shin.
I thought you were going to say use a tee.
All right. Good stuff. Good to know. And of course, we'll post the notes. A couple other things. From the texters, 708, my 24-year-old daughter's having her tonsils out, and I'm going to be taking care of her. Is she going to be able to talk, swallow, and is it painful, and what can I do to help her?
Yeah. So, you know, people used to get their tonsils out all the time. Then we found that tonsils actually are a good part of our immune system. So we only take tonsils out of people if they get so large or you get strep so often. So what's going to happen is it's an outpatient surgery, so she'll have her tonsils removed. She will be able to talk. She'll probably not want to eat any hard foods for a while. They'll put her on a soft diet, ice cream, pudding, things like that, and then they'll make sure that she has pain medication. But for the most part, people of that age, they're going to do very well and actually recover very quickly. Biggest concerns is bleeding. But really right now, the techniques that they use and the surgery that is being done for this is very safe and usually tolerated quite well.
The tonsillectomy stuff, aside for the moment, unless you had a question to follow.
No.
Somebody said, is SPF accumulative? This is from the 847, meaning if I put on a 25 and then I put on a 30, am I now protected to 55 or am I still at a particular level?
No, you're still at the particular level. So, yeah, so you can't go 25, 25, 25 and say I'm at 100. No, you're going to get the 25.
Oh, no, because it'd be 75.
Well, no one said we'd do math.
Yes, the doctor doesn't do math.
All right, so the number you apply is the number you apply.
Correct.
All right.
Yep.
And Andy Mazur is here this morning. I don't know if he has any questions for you, but he did want to say hi.
Hello, and happy birthday to you. My dad had a little run-in with poison ivy on the golf course the other day, too.
Yeah, that's a good question. What do you do with poison ivy?
Andy, that's a great one. Yeah. You know, the biggest thing there is obviously is going to be to try to avoid it as much as you can and look for that classic leaf. But the other thing is if you do think you were exposed to it or you were exposed to it, get those clothes, whatever you were wearing, wash them in hot water, anything that you may have touched. As far as treatment for it, you know, antihistamines creams are okay. Some of the steroid creams are okay. Try not to itch it because it's oil and it can spread. If he came in and sat down on any chair, clean wherever he sat. And anything that he touched, the oil can be on that. So you can get it. It's not that it's contagious, but you can touch something that he touched. And people will often do this and then get in their car. So clean the car as well.
We're going to be cleaning off Andy's chair. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, if you sit in your car, you got to go and scrub the car.
All right.
Well, wow. Think about it. How many people go out for a walk, walk through the woods, and then come home, and now they've got it? Well, it was sitting on their clothes, and now they were sitting in their car.
Yeah, obviously, unless you get completely naked and then get into your car.
Correct.
Yeah, that creates other problems.
I'm going
to call my dad here.
Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. Stand by, Doc. I'll talk to you off the air for just a second. We're back with the news next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Express yourself. Let's check the weekends out here. Andre, how was your weekend?
Weekend was great. Worked a little bit. Had a little Father's Day barbecue at my cousin's house yesterday, and it was a great time.
Andy Manzer?
Pretty much the same. Yeah, little work and a little time with Dad yesterday, and ate some pizza. Traditional Father's Day thing in our house, apparently.
Kind of cool.
Which just started
this
year.
You've not had pizza in a while? You seem like it's a new discovery.
Usually it's barbecue, but this time we went out for pizza. Nice.
Barbecued pizza is tasty.
That's good, too.
Yes. Mary Vandeveld, what did you do for Steve, your husband, Steve?
He was out of town. He was with his mother. That he had to drive his mother to a baptism. So, no.
Wow, good kid on Father's Day.
I had Mother's Day on Father's Day.
Seemed like a win-win.
Yeah.
And none of you guys ask because you never ask, but Ross and I played golf
on
Saturday.
Oh, Steve, how was your Father's Day weekend?
Well,
Steve, how was your weekend?
It was a two Father's Day situation. So we had Ross on Saturday and then regular Father's Day on Sunday.
That was good.
And
what kind of present did you get?
What present did I get?
Yeah, because remember you were talking about what you wanted?
Yeah, time.
Time.
Actually, Amy is going to put together a family dinner. Which saves me time, and I spend time with my family.
Oh, that's fun.
So how does this work? Do you actually share dad stories now? Is that the way, or is it still dad-son stories?
Well, it's 31-2, so I feel like Ross has some more time before he'll have a lot of those.
Okay.
Yeah, mostly we were just all amazed and laughing at Abigail Grace, who's a year and a half old now and better than the other grandchildren, who would throw her arms behind her, bend over, look at a reflective surface, and yell at the surface and yell at the top of her lungs, "Ha! Baby!" Over and over and over again.
Very advanced.
I mean, that's endlessly entertaining.
Yes.
Yeah.
We've all done that once in a
while. And we all did it. We all threw our arms behind ourselves, bent over, and yelled, "Hi, baby."
We still do that on occasion here.
Steve, how was your Father's Day?
Had a good weekend. Very, very relaxing. Got a lot of lots done, yeah.
Did Murrow get you anything?
He did not, no.
Murrow would be the dog.
That dog.
The dog.
And, Sandberg, you were on the road?
I was on the road. We went to Michigan to see Pat's brothers and their wives and their kids.
Like a big old Father's Day situation?
Yes. And so it was fun. We left on Friday, came home on Sunday. And
that's fun.
5.5 hours there, 5.5 hours back.
Yeah, the road, good times.
Oh, yeah.
And did you meet anybody fun?
We did meet some fun. So there's, I found out a couple weeks ago, Pat's brother lives, they live in Beverly Hills, Michigan, which is outside of Detroit. And John and Angie are their names. They have neighbors that are Matt and Jen, and their kids play on softball team together. And Matt and Jen's parents, I guess that would be weird if it was Matt and Jen's parents.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Jen's parents are Rita and Mike, and they live in Deerfield. And they were at a softball game in Michigan, and they got to talking, and they're like, "Boyle, oh, Boyle, is that the same Boyle? They're
from
in Chicago." Right. Mary Sandberg Boyle, Pat Boyle, you know. So we found out they are the same people. So this Rita and Mike listen to WGN all the time.
Hey, Rita and Mike, how you doing?
And so, and they're in Deerfield. Now, the bigger, better part of that story is I was talking to Jen and Matt about Rita and Mike listening and all these things and how WGN is so cool and the listeners are the best and whatever.
Yeah.
And their son comes over, Nick, who I thought was like 17 the way he carried himself, but he's 13. And the mom said, "Oh, Nick, this is, you know, they don't call him grandma and grandpa. They call him pop and something else. You know, mm-hmm. This is Mary works at that station, you know, where, you know, pop and whoever listen." And he's sitting there and he was just here a couple weeks ago. He goes, "I think I've heard that station." And I'm like, what is this kid? He doesn't know that he heard. He goes, He goes, yeah. Did you just have John F. Kennedy Jr.'s nephew on because he's running for governor?
Wow.
Oh, my God.
A 13-year-old kid. I'm like, we did have him on. And as the person who books it, I was, like, so impressed that this kid, like...
Wow.
He's like,
oh, and he knew the connection,
yeah,
not just Chris Kennedy.
He heard WGN. He's like, oh, yeah. I heard the, you know, JFK.
How old is this kid? 13?
13. And I thought he was, like, a high schooler. Cause
wow. That's impressive.
To retain it. I mean, who goes and visits your grandparents? No, remembers they listened to a radio station and... That they heard.
Well, I mean, this is the number one talk show, but 13-year-olds generally aren't listening as much.
And they're talking about it. I was like, look at this. They're talking about the Steve Cochran show, this kid. I know. He was instantly my favorite on the block.
If Pat Brady gets sick, he could come in and, you know, do a little politics
talk. Right. We'll get Nick from Beverly Hills, Michigan. So it was pretty, I was impressed with the kid, you know, like, so.
Is there a chance that we could get your husband, Pat Boyle, Comcast Sportsnet, on today to talk a little hockey, since the Blackhawks and all the National Hockey League, their protected and unprotected list is out now in regards to who Las Vegas will be able to steal to start their stupid team.
Yes, I have a request into him. He has not answered yet, but...
Where would your husband be at this hour?
In bed.
Well, can't she just keep calling him till he wakes up?
No, I wouldn't.
Well,
he wakes you up
all the time.
Why I know, but we won't need him till 8:45 anyway. So, and
but
the kids are there.
Me, world famous Pat. Well, what time then do you? Because you know your husband. Mm-hmm. At what point do you call him? Do you call him like 8:15?
Yeah, I would say because Will Patrick has to be at camp by 8:50, so I know that they'll be up about 8:15. Okay. He's a go to bed late. I mean. He's probably awake. He probably just hasn't looked at his phone yet because, you know,
listen, you enable this behavior.
I know.
You know what I love? What you just kind of glossed over. I love guys. You have to be up at 8:15 to be somewhere at 8:50.
Yeah.
We'd be up at, 6? Oh,
I know.
To be somewhere by 8:50.
Yeah, no, I know. It's
well, if you got a phone call to make it 8:20, why do you need to be up before 8:15?
Right.
Exactly.
All right. So we'll have Pat on to discuss this. But, Andy, you and I will kick around some early news on this because there may be a Marcus Gurga trade.
Yeah, it could be. It's apparently it's already been agreed to.
Okay.
No, yeah. I don't want to trade him.
Kruger be gone. We'll tell you details on that shortly, along with catching up on some other things.
And
what
else
did I miss from the
weekend? I need to give an update. Last year, for anyone who remembers,
let me set this story up.
Okay.
So she has a white couch in the house.
Oh, yes.
And look, we all know Sandberg's nuts, right? We've established that
She's
premise on the show.
She's a nice person. You're so
well, you can be nuts and be a nice person. And you had a nephew and a niece over?
Nephew and a niece and their parents.
All right. And the nephew and the niece were a little crazy. They're
and
running
an hour
around.
In,
being
it
kids.
Was an exhausting visit.
Yeah, they're just being kids, but they're running around. They're loopy.
Yes. Catherine and her mother, this child was 3. Catherine, my stepdaughter, and her mother were in the room on the other couch on their phones.
So the new white couch, the 3-year-old drew on it.
With a blue ink.
Right. Blue ink.
Yes. And you had to pay a lot of money to get it cleaned.
We did.
And we talked about this on the air, and I remember
I remember this too,
scientists
A listener
fly in.
Gave me a tip, and it was whatever, gorilla something or other, that helped get it out, and then Stanley Seamer came and did it.
Yeah, go to Lincoln Park Zoo, get a gorilla. and we also had scientists fly in to assess the damage. Mm-hmm. We actually put police
tape around.
I was
very upset that the child wasn't spanked. I mean, I had no interest in that child going forward. She was already a little bit high maintenance, and I was like, I'm done with this one.
You saw that child this weekend?
I did, and she's 4 now.
Yeah, so is it still a frozen relationship?
I brought her birthday gift, and her birthday
gift. What was her birthday gift? A picture of the couch you just read?
No, I got her a disco ball that you can mount, that you plug in, and it does different kind of lights, and you can put a flash drive in with some music.
That'd be cool. I would have liked
that's
that.
Cool, yeah.
But she didn't even, she opened this child opens the box, and she doesn't know she's even getting a gift from me because it's not like her party or anything.
Right, and she knows
it's just a brown box.
She knows that you're mad at her.
It's a brown box, and she said, ooh, a box. And I'm like, And then she opened it and took it out, and it's when it's not plugged in, it just looks like a clear golf ball. I mean, it's nothing.
Right.
And she opens it up, and she said, I love this. And she doesn't even know what it is. I love this. So then I plugged it in, and she saw the lights, and she pressed her head against this light, you know, disco ball.
Mesmerized.
And then she thanked us and gave us a hug, and then the next day she came up to me at the Black Party, and she said, Aunt Mary, remember when you gave me that light? I love my light so much. And I'm like, she's gone to right to the head of the pack of favorite cousin.
Right, because she's a little suck up.
She loved, and then her dad said, I didn't tell her to say that. And I didn't think he did because you wouldn't. But he said she never has slept with the door open ever, or the door closed. And so that night she was like, close the door, because she slept with
the
disco ball light on.
Right, yeah.
So
meanwhile, she's in the room dancing like it's Studio 54.
And I would suggest, because all the other kids were very jealous of this light, $25 on Amazon. Because it has a remote control. And the, I think because it has a remote control that made it seem like this was like a really high-tech something going on. So
that might be fun for, you know, goofing with your kids, right?
Oh, my God.
You keep the remote control. The kids don't know there is a remote control. You pretend you have the power to turn the light on and off just with your mind. Come on. Yeah. These are fun
It
games.
Was pretty cool. So if anyone wants it, they can.
So the couch destroyer is now your favorite distant relative by marriage.
If you could have heard her little voice. Remember the, when you gave me that light? And I'm like, yes, yesterday. I remember.
Yesterday.
I have to admit, I thought this story was going in an opposite direction. I thought inside the box was going to be a bill for the couch.
Oh, no. Well, her parents did send us a check for the couch, and I felt guilty cashing it. But
well, especially since it turned into material.
Right, but you're related and stuff. But anyway, so there is a photo gallery up at WGNRadio.com and all of our
socials. Of you and the kid?
Of the whole weekend trip, and there's a video which also includes Patrick dominating at the talent show at the Black Friday.
Sucker can dance.
Oh, yeah, that's fantastic. So. I'm still laughing at the good graces. She's back,
I know she's
back
Kennedy is like she's my girl now.
So that's all we have to do.
I even carry
Kennedy's
her.
My girl.
Either buy Mary a light or just thank her incessantly for something.
Right. Or if you're a 3-year-old listening this morning planning on destroying a couch, just suck up a year later when the gifts start to roll
in. Hey, Mary, remember the rundown that you put together for today? I love it.
7:20. You have to give her a hug and then tell her it's the best rundown ever.
It's my favorite rundown ever, Mary.
7:23. Andy will tell you about the Marcus Kruger trade that we think is going to happen in a second on 7:20 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
7:42. Maureen found something for me this weekend, which was pretty cool. It was a book published and written and authored by my daughter Amy when she was 9.
Oh, cool.
9 or 10.
Very cute. Little poem that she wrote?
No, it was a story she wrote about when I'd been, when I was first in Chicago, and she apparently overheard a conversation between her parents about possibly having to move, and she turned it into a drama-filled book.
Oh.
Yeah. So.
That's sweet.
Pretty cool. But the point being, if you ever get a chance to go back and look at the stuff your kids made when they were little, it's pretty cool.
It is fun to look at that stuff.
Yeah. So. 7:43, and I'm lucky to have two really great kids. I can't speak for your kids. At 7:43, let's go to Ryan Nobles, who I assume had his own kids fawning over him leading up to Father's Day. Is that accurate?
That is accurate. My children and my wife treated me very well, so I feel pretty blessed after Father's Day. Even though I had to work most of the day, they still took care of me, so it was a good day.
Ryan Nobles, CNN, a great resource for us. We always appreciate his time. Bizarre weekend in many respects in Trump world, not the least of which was he tweets out that he's under investigation. And then Jay Sokolow, his attorney, shows up with Jake Tapper on your network and says he's not under investigation. Tapper's head explodes. Somebody comes in, cleans it up. And then he ends up with Chris Wallace on Fox. And in one interview, he tells Chris Wallace he's not under investigation and then argues with himself and says, yes, he is. So what do we know?
I mean, we've been told time and time again by the Trump administration that we should take the president's tweets as his word.
Right.
If the president himself said he was under investigation, I think we have to believe that he's under investigation. I mean, the level and the depth of which that investigation is, we certainly don't know. And maybe the president himself doesn't even know. But this idea that they're getting into a semantic argument about whether or not he's officially under investigation or not under investigation, I don't think it really matters all that much. I think that it's pretty clear that there's a lot of heat on the White House and on the president himself. Whether or not that rises to the level of him being personally informed by the special counsel Bob Mueller probably doesn't really matter all that much.
So basically, we should only believe what they say today, not what they've said in the past, not what they've ordered the rest of us to believe. Only believe what they said today. That's what they'd like,
well,
apparently.
Not even today, Steve, because as you pointed out, Jay Sokolow said two different things to two different networks within a couple of hours. You know,
That's a great point.
You know, one of his staff members might say something on television, and then the president will tweet it in a completely contradictory fashion minutes later. You know, they're all over the map in terms of their message. You just don't know where to come one way or the other. But I think the most dangerous thing that's happening right now in Washington is that there's a concerted effort by the Trump team, and that might not necessarily be people with inside the White House, but it's certainly people that are advising him in his sort of war room strategy to undercut the credibility of Bob Mueller before he even gets going. And this was somebody who, you know, even the president's closest associates said minutes after he was appointed that he was a man of impeachable character. And now all of a sudden we're getting all these questions raised as to whether or not he's too close to James Comey, if the people that he's appointed have raised or have donated too much money to Hillary Clinton. And, you know, to me, that's a Trump strategy. As soon as he feels like he's under attack, he immediately goes to, going after someone's credibility with the goal of trying to destroy the investigation. To me, that, you know, you're not arguing the case on its merits there. You're instead trying to bob and weave and create a distraction.
Ryan, I think most people think that firing Mueller at this point would be a terrible idea. But that being said, the Trump team added another attorney to its repertoire yesterday. My question, how do you defend the president? You know, Steve and I were discussing this a little bit earlier. How do you, if you give him advice and you give him counsel, don't tweet, don't fire Mueller, and he goes and does what he wants, how can you continue to defend that? Or can you?
I don't think you can, Andrea. And if you're somebody that works for Donald Trump, it's got to be like riding on a roller coaster, and you know, you're hanging on for dear life just because you don't know which direction he's going to go at any given time. And I think the goal of the people that work for Donald Trump is to just kind of let him go and hope that you can somehow, around the edges, just try and manage the situation as best as you possibly can. You know, you think that the president doesn't take advice from anybody. But if you heard Marco Rubio, he basically did the Sunday talk show circuit yesterday, and he seemed to, in my opinion, give the president the best piece of advice, and that was just leave this investigation alone. Don't talk about it. Let it play itself out. You are never going to get out from underneath this cloud until you let the investigation run its course and draw some sort of a conclusion. You know, you're at the point now where you've got somebody like Mueller who doesn't want headlines. Move away from this. Try and work on your agenda. And then, you know, in Rubio's opinion, there's a good chance at the end of this, there's going to be some sort of conclusion that exonerates you and you can move on. But when you continue to try and throw roadblocks up, destroy credibility of people, that just makes the situation so much more difficult. But the president doesn't seem to want to take anybody's advice.
The consensus seems to be inside the Beltway that there is something significant coming, that these behavioral patterns repeat themselves when the president feels squeezed and feels like something is coming. He gets desperate and he gets vicious and he gets, frankly, bitchy on Twitter. Is that the rumor you're hearing as well?
I don't see how you could draw any other conclusion, Steve. I mean, I guess that anybody who's under investigation is always worried, as the president has said over and over again, that it's a witch hunt, that they're going to try and draw some sort of conclusion that isn't really there by using kind of flimsy evidence to draw that conclusion. But, you know, to me, if you've got somebody in place whose record is, you know, considered to be pretty credible, why wouldn't you just if you didn't have anything to hide, if you've done nothing wrong, then why wouldn't you just let this investigation play out? And here's the thing, Steve. It's not as if there isn't some sort of precedent here with the president, because he and his associates repeatedly said over and over again that they thought that Hillary Clinton was hiding something, and why didn't she just let people do the full and fair vetting and investigation? And you shouldn't be afraid of an investigation if you've got nothing to hide. They used to hammer her about that all the time. Well, now the shoe's on the other foot, and all of a sudden they're saying a different story.
What do we anticipate going forward this week, aside from the rumors just discussed? Is there anything on the schedule that jumps out for you?
Well, this week is going to be a big week when it comes to healthcare, Steve. And, you know, Phil Mattingly, my colleague, I've been spending a lot of time on Capitol Hill with him. You know, he's pulling his hair out because he feels like this story has been underreported because you've got everything that's happening with Russia and then, of course, everything that happened with the shooting last week. But Republican senators are in the process of doing the same exact thing that the House Republicans did, and that's jamming through a bill without very much review, with very little debate, and without much time for the American people to take a look at what's in this bill. And Democrats are now preparing to play hardball. They're going to slow down the work of the Senate, prevent Republicans from extending hearing times. They could block Trump nominees from getting a hearing on the floor. The goal here being to force Republicans out into the open. And so things could get pretty dicey here in Washington this week, because the goal for Senate Republicans, which seems crazy, is that they want to have a vote on this bill before 4th of July. Steve, most Republicans haven't even seen this bill yet, let alone the Congressional Budget Office, let alone any Democrats. And they still need, you know, at least 51 votes before 4th of July.
Ryan, any
movement? Mitch McConnell is such a bad
guy. I know. Any movement on the infrastructure bill, too?
It's not even a bill.
We haven't seen anything yet. Yeah, there's no bill. Yeah, I mean, you're exactly right, Andrea. I mean, they talk about it all the time. They act like it's going to happen.
Right.
I mean, I'd be very surprised if you see anything before the 4th of July. It seems that everything right now is completely focused on trying to put some sort of health care bill through. And, you know, even if the Senate passes it, it's going to be dramatically different than the House version. It's going to have to go back to the House and go through the same rigmarole. You know, it's not as if, you know, they might have another celebration like they did last time around, but we're not anywhere near serious health care reform becoming a reality. And this comes at a time when Obamacare is, to a certain extent, imploding. The president isn't wrong about that, but that's because the White House and the administration isn't doing the kind of nurturing that you need to do to keep Obamacare moving. You know, they're not promoting the exchanges. They're not doing things like that. So the health care situation in this country is in real trouble, and you don't get the sense that these leaders in Washington understand the severity of that and are making some sort of plan to get something in place quickly.
We spend a fair amount of time on Mondays talking about health, and the president's situation certainly is not healthy. He's under a tremendous amount of stress. I don't care whether you like him or don't like him. And he's got, by all accounts, a terrible diet. He doesn't sleep much. These are all things that are bad for anybody of any age. The man's 70 years old. Isn't he about due for one of those public physicals where Ryan Nobles has to stand on the White House lawn and say the doctor said this or that?
Thank you. That's a good question, Steve. I don't know the exact timing of that, but that is a pretty regular practice that presidents have, where they go to some military physician and they do the whole workup from top to bottom, and then they do issue some sort of report about the president's health. That's definitely worth checking on. I don't know exactly what, you know, if that's something that there's a formal date where that happens, or if just it's something that the White House provides. I don't think it's necessarily required of presidents. And if it's not required of presidents, there's a good chance that Donald Trump won't do it. But you're right. That is something that presidents normally do. So that is definitely something we should check up on.
There's your lead of the day. And I think we should know what the state of health is for Mr. KFC there. All right, buddy. Thank you. And happy belated Father's Day to you.
Happy Father's Day to you as well, Steve. Have a great day.
There you go. It's Ryan Nobles. Man, is he good. Just really, really good.
He absolutely is. Of course, it doesn't matter if even if they do have some sort of a bill and it goes through, we still have no budget. So I don't think the infrastructure bill, anything that would help Illinois at this point anyway.
If you're Donald Trump and you got a choice, protect my tax returns or protect my the truth in physical, like the medical report, the actual truthful medical report on me, which do you think you'd protect harder?
The medical report.
Tax return.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you both could be right, because I don't know.
Yeah, that's tough. What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, the people who would seem to know say he's gained 30 to 40 pounds since he was elected.
Mm-hmm.
We know he eats terrible. He's under a lot of stress. I mean, all these things add up to a walking medical problem in a big way. All right, 7:53, almost 7:54. Mary, update us, please, and then we'll come back. Oh, and by the way, Flounder passed away.
Unbelievable.
The actor Stephen Furst. You don't have details on that coming up in showbiz after 8 o'clock. Mary.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood.
Good morning and live from Channel 9. Dean Richards is here. Hey, you know what I was talking about earlier? Did you see the Megyn Kelly thing yet?
I did not. I saw some clips of it, but I haven't seen the whole thing.
She took a lot of grief for putting on this creep Alex Jones from something called InfoWars, where he was in court a couple of weeks ago in a custody battle, in a divorce, and admitted that he's a performance artist, and yet he continues to be treated by the White House like a legitimate journalist. He's an alien from outer space.
Wasn't he the one who denied that Sandy Hook
yeah.
took
yeah.
place?
Exactly.
Said it was staged or
yes.
something to, con- you know, to try to get people sympathetic on the gun control issue.
Exactly. And that's among a long list of hideous things that he said.
What's his yogurt lawsuit? Do you know what that is?
Yeah, with the
Chobani?
The Chobani folks.
I heard that there's a lawsuit, but it's like, what?
He's already been, he already lost that. He had to pay that off on some level. But the problem with the Megyn Kelly thing was legitimizing him and giving him the platform of NBC.
Right.
So NBC's got a lot of trouble already with the Megyn Kelly thing, and they're paying her a lot of money. And I don't know how this may be the shortest ever, you know, debut of a big time talk show
career.
Yeah. She's been on 2 weeks, and they're, you know, the people at NBC already have to be going, what the hell did we get ourselves into?
Yeah, even you've never been fired in 2 weeks.
Actually, one day.
One day was your shortest?
Yeah, remember WCKG?
Oh yeah,
yeah. WCKG, I was there one day.
Holy cow. Yeah.
What'd you do?
You know, when it's like a candy bar gets stuck in a vending machine and you shake the machine?
Oh, yeah, that was it.
Yeah, two fell out.
Really?
No.
Oh. No. That would be such a radio thing. I could totally see that happening somewhere.
This is the shorthand of the story. I was hired to do what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I get a call from the guy that hired me, who never cleared it with the people that owned it at the time, were Cox Broadcasting, COX, in Houston. And they had never cleared it with them. They wanted it to be an all-sports thing. This is 1993 is when The Score came on the air.
Yeah.
And GN had everybody else. And we had no sports, but it was a sports-heavy show. It was a male-dominant talk show. Mm-hmm. They were ready to go. But the people in Houston decided what Chicago needed was a sports talk morning show hosted by me with no sports rights to any teams. And they also wanted me to call it Steve Cochran and the Rock and Roll Locker Room.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah, man.
None of that was cleared with me.
Rock and roll.
So I refused to do it. So I agreed to go on because I was not hired under those circumstances. Premise. It was a lot of money, by the way. So it wasn't like I went, I'm standing on my principles. There was a moment where I went, maybe I could sell out. But
too bad you didn't stay, because that sounds like a winning idea.
Doesn't it, really?
Yeah.
For a show.
So I agreed I'd try it overnight just to say I tried it. And at 2 o'clock in the morning, went on the air and tried it. This is what remember Jay Mariotti?
Oh, yeah.
This is when Jay Mariotti first came to town, and he wasn't a jerk yet. And he was going to be my sports guy. And we had a bunch of people lined up. So anyway, go on the air, we do it for an hour. I knew in the first 10 minutes it was a disaster. So we do it for an hour or 2 hours, whatever. And the next day I said, pay off the contract. I'm not doing this.
It's a disaster, yeah.
And that's what happened. So that's, anyway, 2 weeks would have been a long time.
Right.
I did 2 weeks in Miami. Thought that would be the shortest I'd ever. That was my first firing. This was one day.
Congratulations.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. What are we talking about? Oh, yeah. Let's come back after the traffic, and Dean can tell us about his L.A. trip. He can also tell us about Leonardo DiCaprio, Michael Phelps, Simon Cowell, and if either of the Beyonce babies were named after him. And I have to say, the Channel 9 photography of you at Ravinia is tremendous. I love it.
Well, that's because the pictures were taken by the people at Ravinia.
Oh, okay. Well, that would explain it.
Those are photographs not taken by our photographers.
There's concert-level shots of Dean on stage.
I know. I look fantastic.
That's tremendous. With your big bald head in the background, are you in your hip hat?
I look this. I'm up on a video board. There's a picture of me on a video board, and I'm standing in front of it with my hipster hat on.
He's got social media profile pics to the end of time now.
See, TMZ had it as Billy Joel makes a surprise appearance at Ravinia.
That's right.
Because the pictures were so professionally shot.
Right. And the American Meteorology Association's website had Tom Skilling making an appearance at Ravinia.
A lot of people making money off of Dean.
Yep.
Calling his name, Dean Richard, the entertainment editor, Channel 972.
Back to Dean at Channel 9. All right, let's go through the list here. I mean, let's go through the stuff that's just off the top of my head. Beyonce had babies?
Allegedly a boy and a girl. Allegedly.
One named Jay, the other named Z?
Possibly. We have not heard the names of the babies yet. I'm hoping for something that ties in with a Beyonce song title. Are you okay?
Something fell. What was that?
It might have been the, I think it was the mouse. for your computer.
The mouse for the computer phone. Yeah.
People get very upset when you talk about Beyonce starts talking, throwing things around.
So she's okay and the babies are okay.
She's okay. Well, we don't know officially yet. Neither Beyonce nor Jay-Z have made any official announcement on this. But the grandfather yesterday, Beyonce's father, sent out a tweet yesterday saying happy birthday to the twins. The twins are here. Supposedly the Beyonce camp is not happy that dad blew the lid off, you know, the whole thing that a grandfather can't be proud that he's, you know, a new grandfather. According to TMZ, she's still in the hospital, that there were some minor issues that they're not listing specifically, but she's still resting in the hospital.
Did the grandfather rap the announcement?
Did he
freestyle?
No, I don't think he's a rapper, the grandfather, is he?
Okay.
It's funny that he even has a Twitter.
Ice Gray.
Mm-hmm. It's like a professional headshot.
Yeah.
Maybe he's an actor.
Yeah. Ice Prostate. Hey, I'm a grandfather, I know. All right, so we'll continue to follow that with Dean's team.
Break into regular programming the minute we hear anything.
Can I tell you, I didn't know Bob Barker was still alive.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah,
and he fell over the weekend, but he supposedly is recovering and might even be out of the hospital today or tomorrow. Did he trip over the big microphone?
over the wheel? What's it called?
For the Showcase Showdown.
Showcase Showdown.
Yeah. Yeah, but he also had the super long microphone, the Gene Rayburn match game microphone.
Right,
yeah,
right. The microphone that there's no reason for it to be that long.
Right.
Or thin.
Right. Obviously compensation going on there with Gene.
fell in the bathroom, hit his head.
That's not good. Well, good luck.
I guess he's okay, but he's 93.
Yeah. What's he doing in the bathroom? Oh, wait, no, that's not
the
good.
What's he doing out of the bathroom?
Not a good outrage. What's Simon Cowell doing?
Simon Cowell is doing one of those We Are the World kind of songs. He's producing it with some of the biggest names in music in England. This will all benefit the victims and the survivors of that terrible fire that took place last week there. Roger Daltrey is signed on. Liam Payne and Louis Tomlinson from One Direction, James Blunt, Robbie Williams, Celine Dion. They all cut tracks over the weekend for this. Celine Dion is cutting a track today. The word is that the song will be Bridge Over Troubled Water that will be released on Wednesday.
Okay. Well, good for him. That's a good thing.
It's a nice thing to do for the meanest man in show business.
What is his story really? I mean, because I've interviewed him a couple times and he was delightful.
Seemed very pleasant. I talked to him once or twice. Seemed very pleasant. I think it's just his on-air persona. I think that's, you know, from the original American Idol, that's, you know, he needed a niche and he found it.
Can we agree the wardrobe should change?
I think the 8-year-old T-shirt probably, you know, could be replaced with one in his actual size.
Well, and if you're going to wear a T-shirt on TV and that's your thing, you better be in the gym 3 hours a day.
It's not a good look.
Yeah, just, you know, I mean, everybody gets a dad body at some point.
And you know how he's on American Got Talent now? America's Got Talent. And he just loves, if you bring a puppy out, I tell you, that's the way to melt his heart.
All right, he's all about the dogs?
All about dogs, animals in general. He just loves them. When people do dog acts, he lets them in right away.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Well, you call me when that happens.
I agree about the T-shirt, though.
Yeah, it's got to go.
Yeah, shouldn't be wearing a T-shirt.
Leonardo DiCaprio did what?
This is interesting. He returned to the U.S. government a Picasso painting, some jewelry, and the Academy Award that Marlon Brando won in 1954 for On the Waterfront. Now, how he got all this stuff, when he was making the movie Wolf of Wall Street, the company that was producing this film gave him all of these things as a gift. Not uncommon. When, you know, producers, you know, the people, the money people in the movies, to keep their stars happy, they, you know, throw gifts on them. Turns out that the producers of this film may have been involved in a $4.5 million money laundering scheme in Malaysia. That's being investigated by the U.S. government right now. They questioned DiCaprio about it and how he received this. DiCaprio said, hey, just take the stuff. I don't even want it. It was a gift from these people who happened to be the Malaysian prime minister and his son-in-law. So all of that is being investigated. DiCaprio said, you know, it's a nice gift, but not worth me being involved in this $4.5 billion money laundering investigation.
So Picasso painting, what else?
Jewelry, other art, and the Academy Award that Marlon Brando won for On the Water.
Did they pay him to do the movie? They just gave him stuff.
You get stuff, don't you? Gifts outside of your own salary?
Well, yeah, all the time. I violate the ethics contract of the Tribune. What?
You know,
no, but I mean,
can hear you.
No, but
you
I
just to check no.
Was that out loud?
You can hear your voice.
Check no to all that.
No, but I understand that people with movie made to get a car or whatever. This seems like a bizarre collection of
seems
things.
Seems like a bizarre collection of things. Exactly right.
Huh. Okay. Learn something new every
somebody,
day if you listen
somebody
to
Somebody goes, here's Marlon Brando's Oscar. Well, that's cool. I'll take that.
Yeah, I suppose.
I'll take that.
Go, hey, you're already paying me a bunch of money. I'm Leonardo DiCaprio. Why am I fencing your stolen goods?
Yeah, this is great. Thank you. I'll take this. By the way, that Picasso painting over there,
what?
Are you going to do anything with that?
Hollywood is so weird. Weird. Dean's just back from L.A. He talked to Steve Carell and Kristen Wiig. And this for the new Despicables 12 or whatever it is?
Despicable Me 3.
Okay.
Delightful little movie. I'll tell you more about it when we get closer to the opening. But
this is the one where one of the Despicables has on a mask and he kills people.
Yeah, and turns out is...
Friday the 13th, the Despicables.
Turns out that one of the minions is Luke Skywalker's father.
All right, we have some sound that you presented for us.
I just thought it was, I think this is such an interesting time in comedy right now with everything that's going on in the world politically and, you know, comedy at an all-time high with satire, that both of these actors, Steve Carell on The Daily Show and Kristen Wiig on SNL, you know, both used to be in that satirical business and now really are more movie actors. I wondered, you know, if they missed it and how they thought the whole situation was stacking up right now. Do you guys miss, like, doing topical humor way you both did?
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially watching this season on SNL, you just want to, like, get in there and hang out and play with everybody. Yeah, it's a really important time. I feel like it's a big voice that we have, you know, to kind of say how we feel about what's happening in the world and to do it in a funny way and get people's attention. And it's really important.
By the same token, a movie like this... is such a tonic for right now and the world because it's just silly and it's just funny and it's not, there's no cynicism involved with it. And I think there's a place for that right now too. That's, if there is a movement in any direction in comedy, I feel like it might be towards that.
So it kind of,
so the Despicables are saving us?
The Despicables are, involved in the plot, but what, you know, he's saying that there's nothing political about this movie. There's nothing.
What's
that
mean? The little minions are going to save us from ourselves.
Oh, they're going to save us from our own cynicism and hatred for one another. Yes.
Oh, maybe that can be art imitating life.
Right.
Or not.
When can you talk about the movie?
That I liked it.
Yeah, because that's not a review.
No,
is
probably
it?
Not till. Oh no, I know I didn't review it. I was just asking you for clarification of your question.
Yes.
The movie opens on June the 30th, so I'll be able to tell you that I like the movie more then.
Okay, cool. That's Dean Richards, who did not review Despicables 3. Not now me. It's personal.
Lips are sealed.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
See ya.
That's Dean. We're back with more coming up. CLTV joins us at 9, and this is 720 WGN and the Steve Cochran Show.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own.
You are listening to station WGN.
The NHL draft comes to Chicago on Friday. Do you know the puck was invented by a man named Pierre Puck?
Is this true?
No.
Because I didn't think so. I've been believing you too much.
But standing by on the phone is Pat Boyle, who knows more about hockey than Pierre Puck does. He knows more about hockey than
anybody.
I'm going
to find out the real name of the man.
So Pat, join me in just a second as we welcome to the program top draft prospect Nolan Patrick, who's got to be very excited. This is a big week for you, dude.
Yeah, it should be fun here. I'm excited.
All right. So who you been talking to? Who you been working out for? What were your thoughts?
I don't know. I guess we'll see what happens draft day. But, you know, for me, it's just a lot of excitement. Me and my family are heading down there on Tuesday, so we're all excited.
Now, you're from Winnipeg?
Yeah.
All right, so do me a favor, because I'd love to rub this in Tay's face. Just say, I loved Jonathan Toews when I was growing up.
I loved Jonathan Toews when I was growing up, and that was true. So,
I mean, that is true. You're 18 years old, so you were an 8-year-old kid when Taser was coming up. I mean, he had to be one of your heroes.
Yeah, he was one of my my favorite players growing up, and I think that when I was younger, that's kind of why I started wearing number 19. So he was a fun guy for me to watch growing up, and I still like his game now.
Now, you play center still, or are you a winger?
I'm a center still.
All right, so is your game similar, or how would you describe your game?
Describe my game as a two-way centerman. I try to be really responsible in the defensive zone and then chip in as much as I can offensively. I like to play against our team's top guys, so that's kind of the shortest way I describe my game. I don't know how close I would model my game to him, but, he's a really good guy for me to watch growing up.
Pretty good hockey bloodlines, too. Your grandfather, your dad, and your uncle all played in the league?
My two uncles and my dad.
No, your dad. Your grandfather played football.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The CFL guy. So, a bunch of athletics running through your veins, which is awfully good. Andy Mazur, say hi to Nolan.
Hey, Nolan, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
Just curious, what are these workouts like for these NHL teams, and what kind of things do they put you through?
You talking the combine?
Yeah, the combine stuff, yeah.
Yeah, some of them are pretty tough. You had to do the wind gate on the bike. That was the hardest one for me. It's just going hard as you can for 30 seconds. And the VO2 is kind of more of a cardio one for going as long as you can there. And then you got bench press, chin up. So, most of them are, pretty straightforward tests, but then some of them are, obviously pretty tough, and there's some mobility tests in there too. So it was a fun experience for me.
What is a cycle ergometer?
A what?
The cycle ergometer. I got some notes here. You said it was the toughest part of the combine.
I think that would be the wind gate. I have no idea.
Yeah, the wind gate. That's it. That's it. The wind gate cycle ergometer. The wind gate. What is it?
Yeah, that's the one where you're just going and then they drop the weight and you got to go as hard as you can for 30 seconds. That was quite the shock to the system for me, and I was kind of out of commission for a good half an hour after that one, so it was tough for sure.
And I heard it was fairly close after breakfast.
Yeah, a little too close for me. So.
Does your family have a preference where you end up, or they just want you to be happy and successful?
No, they don't have a preference at all. It's not like they'd be, more proud of me if I went to one spot or another or anything like that. They're just, excited for the day, and they're proud of me no matter what happens. So they're, like I said before, we're all heading down Tuesday, and I think my little sister is the most excited for it, so it should be fun.
We need to lock in one of these phone lines so I can bring Pat in. Elise, I assume you know how to pull this off. We've got a fancy phone line system here, which is really famous for hanging up on people. Before I let you go, before I bring in Pat Boyle in here, what's the state of your health? Because I know you got dinged up pretty good this season.
Yeah, it was obviously tough year for me with injuries, kind of a few unlucky bounces there. But, I'm feeling good. I'm getting to 100% soon here, and, I'm just working out and, trying to get my body back to where it needs to be for next season. So, I'm confident I'll be able to play a full season next year. So it's exciting.
Let me get Pat Boyle in here from Comcast Sportsnet, who eats, sleeps, and breathes hockey. How good is this kid, Pat?
He's really good, and he's really humble during this radio interview. But Nolan, first of all, congratulations on a tremendous week for you and your family. We're looking forward to seeing you at the United Center later this week. I just wanted to ask you, you look at some of the names that have been taken number one overall recently, Crosby in this city, Patrick Kane, the last couple of years, Connor McDavid and Austin Matthews. What would it mean to you to be selected number one overall on Friday evening?
It'd obviously be a huge honor if that's what happened. But, for me, honestly, I wouldn't be any more happy if I went 1, 2, 3, 4. I think those guys who did go on, like you're saying, Patrick Kane, Crosby, it's not like they're talking 10 years down the road, that guy went first overall or something like that. Everyone's talking about Crosby's two cups, his World Cup winning. So it's obviously, pretty cool for those guys when they did go first for a certain amount of time. But I think that's when the work starts and you got to, move on and, keep training and try to make the jump to the NHL. So obviously it'd be, it'd be a huge honor, but I'm I'd be honored to go anywhere. So, you know, I'm excited to see what happens.
And, Pat, are you going to have him on the show on Friday?
We are. We hope to. We hope to have him. He's going to be pulled in a few different directions as soon as his name is called. But not only will be the NHL Network be there, but also Canada will have full coverage. So we will sit down with him afterwards, and we look forward to talking to you on Friday night when you officially enter the National Hockey League. It should be a lot of fun, Nolan. And by the way, Nolan, when you come to Chicago this week, if you have any trouble getting any dinner reservations, just use Steve Cochran's name and have them put the dinner tab on the Cochran WGN account, okay?
Actually, I don't know.
Yeah, I'll make sure to do that.
I don't know if you put this in your phone or we could text it to you. Don't use my my name, Steve Cochran. Use my real name, David Kaplan. that would be the name that works best.
Then you'd have to walk around with gift cards all day. No, use Cochran. That'll work better for you, Nolan.
All right, if we think of Taser and Kane, if we think of the great twosomes in hockey, Nolan, give us one other guy that as fans we ought to be watching for, a guy that you came up with in juniors or a guy that's another top prospect that fans are going to love going down the road in the National Hockey League.
That I came up playing with?
Yeah, maybe a buddy of yours or a rival of yours, either one. Somebody that's going to go high in the draft as far as you're concerned.
Oh, you're talking this year?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
for me, I was, you know, I'm a late birthday, so I didn't have a chance to play with too many of the guys in the draft class this year growing up. And I just kind of got to know more of them as the, you know, the year went on this year. But, you know, I think one guy he's not ranked too high, but I think, you know, he's a lot better and he might be a, you know, later pick, but I think he's an unbelievable player. His name is Mason Shaw. He plays for the Medicine Hat Tigers. You know, he's a smaller guy, but he's, you know, really skilled and won't back down from no one. He's kind of like a Brad Marchand player. So that's kind of a guy that I think is going to be a real good player down the road.
Now, Pat Boyle, as you know, New Jersey and Philly have picks 1 and 2. Do you think a kid from Winnipeg is going to adapt well to those two cities?
Absolutely. I know his dad and his uncle played in New York, so they know what it's like. Two very passionate hockey fan bases in New Jersey and Philly. I worked in Philly for a while, so you'll enjoy either one of those cities if that's where you end up. My question to you is, do you have a tie picked out for your suit that may tip us off on where you think you may go? Do you have the Devil's red tie picked out or a Flyer orange?
No, I'm smarter than that. I'm going all black. So I guess we'll see.
Head to toe. And who's going to be with you when you get picked? You got family coming with you?
Yeah, I got my close family, my strength coach, my skills coach, and my three best buddies. So,
where's your agent going to be?
Yeah, I think they might sneak in there, too. I forgot to mention them.
Because I think your agent's going to be a guy you want, or at least a team you might want to keep near you. Anyway, nice to meet you, bud. Nothing but success and health going forward, and I'm excited for you this week, and I know Pat and Andy are as well.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Really appreciate it.
And don't forget, when Pat Boyle's producer comes up to you Friday night, to blow off everybody else and go do his show.
Yeah, exactly. We'll do.
All right, dude. Hold on. And Pat, hold on as well. All right, put those lines on hold for me. I can't touch the phone. I'll break it. And stand by, more with Pat Boyle in just a second. I want to ask Pat about the protected and the unprotected mm-hmm. list and talk a little more Blackhawks.
You meant the protected and unprotected list at his house.
At Pat's house?
Yeah.
Well, none of them. They're all.
They're all unprotected.
They're all unprotected.
They're all.
Because Sandberg's in charge. Pat Boyle, Comcast Sportsnet, standing by. And want to talk a little Blackhawks hockey here on Draft Week. I will be out there on Friday night as well, and Rokan will broadcast live Friday starting at 3 on WGN. By the way, Pat, I don't know if you're aware of this, but your son Patrick is throwing down some mean dancing moves like you wouldn't believe up on WGNradio.com right now.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. We went to my brother's in Michigan this weekend, and they had a block party. And, of course, in true Boyle fashion, the kids couldn't sit on the sidelines. They took part in the talent show, and he was, I don't know where he gets these moves or where what is going on.
Kid is a good dancer.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's
going on. I mean, he was popping and locking, and as a matter of fact, I'd watching the video, I broke my hip.
You might. I know.
Just
I
enjoyed
watching it, too.
All right, I'm looking at the Blackhawks protected and unprotected list. Anisimov, Hartman, Hossa, Yurko, Kane, Panic, Taze, Jalmerson, Keith, Seabrook, and Crawford, all protected. Everybody else unprotected. Any surprises there?
No, no real surprises. The Hawks have so many players with no movement clauses and no trade clauses that all those players had to be protected. So they went the 7 forward, 3 defensemen, 1 goalie route. And that basically leaves Kruger, Marcus Kruger, and Trevor Van Riemsdyk unprotected. And it's been rumored now for the last, I'd say, 3 weeks that the Las Vegas team has been working with the Hawks in a deal that will they'll take either Trevor Van Riemsdyk and likely him, and they will also agree to accept Marcus Kruger in a trade, so that Kruger and Van Riemsdyk by Wednesday, when the new Las Vegas Golden Knights team is announced, the members of their team, that those two players will likely leave the Hawks and beyond the Golden Knights.
TVR, significant loss?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, he's an up-and-coming defenseman who I thought made some real strides last year. You know, if you remember back in the 2015 Stanley Cup final, he was plagued with injury all year. He came back in the Stanley Cup final as a rookie and played a significant role in limited minutes in the Tampa Bay series. And then I thought last year he really built on his 2015 campaign. And so I think that will be a loss. But again, these are the types of things that happen when you have success, when you have players that command a certain contract. You have to find ways to keep the team afloat, and that means saying goodbye to some quality players along the way. And with 10 draft picks on Friday and Saturday, the Hawks look to, replenish the system, which they've been able to do in years past. And a lot of times, you think about it, Steve, with all their success, they're drafting 29th, 30th pretty much every year.
Yep.
So, they've done a great job in finding other avenues, finding players like Panarin from the KHL. And they've done that this offseason as well. So look for them to be active moving up in the first round on Friday. I think with those 10 picks, you'll see some movement from the 26th selection overall. Maybe they can get somewhere into the teens or something like that. But it should be a fun time. It's a marquee event, and the Hawks. They do everything first class, so it should be a lot of fun.
Yep, and if you're a true hockey fan, get out there Friday night. Last question, Andy.
Hey, Pat, I get the whole benefit of the deal with Kruger and with Van Riemsdyk from a Blackhawks perspective. You're around $4 million in savings. What's the attraction of that contract going over to the Vegas team, and what do they intend to do?
Well, I will say Marcus Kruger is a good player, and Joel Quenneville will not be happy to see Marcus Kruger go. It's not a sexy role, the third and fourth line center, a guy who's out there as your penalty killer, a guy who does a lot of thankless things, but you need a great penalty kill. You need a great third and fourth line center to win a Stanley Cup, and Marcus is a part of two. So, at first blush, it doesn't look like it's some sort of marquee name, but to get Marcus Kruger at $3 million a year, look, they don't have any cap problems, so they'll take a quality player making maybe slightly more than what the market would bear for him, and they'll be grateful to add that. And then as far as Trevor Van Riemsdyk, he's still on an entry-level deal, and not making, I think he's making around $900,000. And he's a promising young defenseman. So I think from, Las Vegas' standpoint, they're getting two quality players. The Hawks are saying goodbye to, a couple guys that played roles. Marcus Kruger, a prominent role in two cups.
It's funny thinking of a hockey team in Vegas, isn't it?
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah,
all of a sudden, that becomes the interesting road trip, does it not?
Oh, yeah.
Like, Hawks fans, like, if you've got any kind of bachelor party or whatever, all of a sudden it's like, yeah, let's do the Vegas Hawks game on October 27th, and bring your paycheck.
Yeah, well, there may be discussions going on here about a Steve Cochran show in and around that trip. Mm. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah,
all
maybe.
Right.
Maybe I could get a hall pass for that as well.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Talk to my producer.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That's what I would do.
Do you have an in?
Our executive producer.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a very good point. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. Comcast Sportsnet, every time there's anything related to Hawks coverage, all you need is Pat Boyle. But Friday night's going to be great, and Saturday as well. So I know it's going to be a busy weekend for you, but I look forward to your coverage.
Thanks a lot, Steve. Looking forward to it as well.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Back live on SEAL TV and 720 WGN as the Steve Cochran Show continues. A brief moment, a personal moment. Condolences. Just found out I lost an uncle
Aww.
Who I have not had a lot of contact with through the years, but very close to my brother Mickey, who's been visiting and mm-hmm. now will be headed home for services. So it's just another one of those things, right, where you just go to tell the people you know and you're related to, your loved ones, as often as you can, because they're not around forever.
That's right.
So life lessons from the program. We have a studio full of folks. You were the other day, just the other day, you were talking about Taste of Chicago.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, Uncle Ray, I might mention his name.
Okay.
You mentioned Taste of Chicago and blown away by the restaurants.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, Mary May said she's always so great, and she said, that, you know, check out the lineup this year. Taste of Chicago is always awesome and a blast, and the greatest food festival in the country, I think, and the largest. Mary said, check out the restaurants this year. There are some of the newest restaurants, some of my favorites, my personal favorites.
Isn't that how generally the program is put together? As Mary Slowick joins us here, the taste manager.
Yeah.
You pretty much decide what would Andrea like, right?
Exactly, yeah.
That's number one.
That's the key
you,
to the
Mary.
Meeting, as you decide
number
which restaurants get in.
Steve likes.
Right.
There you go.
Right.
There you go. But we have some great, great restaurants this year. You are going to be blown away. We have a little couple of samples in studio today, too.
Well, let's start first, Mary, with what does a Taste of Chicago manager do other than have nothing but tension and stress?
Well, it's really a wonderful job. And it starts early in, actually, Taste is a year-round job. We start early in the year selecting the restaurants, actually working with the Illinois Restaurant Association to recruit the restaurants that
well, it's interesting. You said recruit. I would think people would be knocking down your door to get involved.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what?
Is it both? Like you have people tugging on your leg, pick me, and others who maybe you'd like to be involved and maybe they're a little hesitant?
Well, there's a little bit of both. So we've established a new system called our pop-up program,
uh-huh.
Which Puffs of Doom and Doom Street Eats has been a part
I'm gonna
of.
Meet those guys in just a second.
So that program is designed to kind of initiate smaller food vendors into the event where they only have to participate for 1 or 2 days.
And it's a great break for small restaurants trying to get some notice.
Big
right.
time, yeah.
Right. So, you know, to participate all 5 days is sometimes a little bit stressful.
Yeah, it's a big commitment.
Right. So we try to work with vendors. And so Doom Street Eats is a good example of that because they were a pop-up restaurant in the past, and now they have they've transitioned over to the 5-day.
Introduce our friends
event.
Here.
Well, we have Rebecca Vanderklute right here and her husband, Luke.
And you guys have both?
Yes.
All right. Why don't I get your mic on? That might help. What's the name of yours?
Puffs of Doom and Doom Street Eats.
That's right.
All right. So Puffs of Doom is what?
Puffs of Doom is sweet and savory non-traditional cream puffs.
Oh, really? Give me an example.
So we brought today two of our sweet flavors, which we'll have at the taste. Our salted caramel chocolate.
Oh, okay. There he goes.
No more calls. We have a winner.
You just sold him right there.
And
we also have a banana coconut Nutella.
Oh, wasn't it, Andy, wasn't that your name when you were a stripper?
Yes,
banana,
it was.
Coconut,
you have to bring that up every time.
I think it was. I'm pretty sure it was. And what is Doom Street Eats and what is your name?
Oh, I also have Doom Street Eats.
Oh, wait. I thought so you guys are partners and husband and wife, or what's going on here?
No. My partner's over there.
Partner's over here.
We're friends.
We're friends.
This is
all right, so you have Doom Street Eats as well.
Yes.
All right, what is Doom Street Eats?
Doom Street Eats is street food. So we take comfort food and turn it into street food. So we have a bacon ranch mac and cheese grilled cheese.
The mac and cheese, I know you're a huge mac and cheese guy, is to die for.
Obviously, I'm talking about a lot of healthy stuff right now.
I know.
And?
And we have a spinach artichoke quesadilla with chimichurri sauce.
I'm sure someone else will enjoy that. Artichoke quesadilla sounds great as well. Now, what do you do?
So my name is Aaron Wolfson, and I have the Chicago's Doghouse.
Oh, okay. The hot dog guy's here.
Hot dog guy, yes.
All right. And what are you doing special at
Taste? So this year is our fourth year doing it, and we're bringing back our smoked alligator sausage.
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, the alligators are angry.
Yeah.
Yeah. The smoked alligator. Where do you get smoked alligator?
We source it from a little sausage purveyor out in Louisiana.
Yeah, because that's where they get it, right? That's where they are. Do you like alligator?
Oh, I think it's fantastic.
And don't tell me it tastes like chicken, because I'll come over there if you do. What does it taste like? Chicken.
A little bit of that. I'm not going
to
lie.
Everything tastes like chicken to some degree. Is it difficult to make?
Not at all. I mean, they're farmed, raised alligators, and they make it into sausages.
And did you know this would be where your life was going? When did you get in the dog business?
You know what? I did not. I started Columbia College, and I went through all the college not even realizing my life was going to be in the hot dog business.
That's right.
Until afterwards, so.
And to be in the hot dog business in Chicago isn't easy because there's a lot of choices.
No, there's a lot of competition, a lot of choices. It's a tough business nowadays, for sure.
Your experience with Taste has been a good one?
Awesome.
Yeah.
4 years running, and it's done wonders for my business.
And do you see a pop, afterwards?
Absolutely, for sure.
Because people have the food, they go home, they tell their friends, and then they come see you.
All the time. I still see people almost every day coming in. I saw Taste last year or the year before.
Is that right?
Yeah.
All right, so let's make sure people know where you are day to day. Where's your place?
816 West Fullerton Avenue. So we're right across from DePaul University.
Good call by you.
Yeah,
right, a little bit east of the Red Line.
All right, there. And open when?
Open 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. most days. Sundays we're open until about 9 p.m., 12 to 9 p.m.
And?
We don't have a physical location. We do things a little different. So we cater, we deliver, we travel around doing all the festivals and events, so you can look us up on social media.
Well, what if people need to hire you as their caterer?
Well, they can contact us at puffsofdoom@gmail.com.
All right, great. We're going to come back more, talk about Taste in just a second. It's 9:20. I may sample some of the food during the break.
Yeah, you will. Sea salt caramel, Steve, and mac and cheese.
Yeah. What are you going to have? More in a second with Mary Slowick. She manages Taste and everything else happening at Taste. Coming up on 7:20 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 7:20 WGN.
I figured out why they call Puffs of Doom. It took me that long just to cut one.
Oh, my God.
And bring it over and now be tempted by it and then clean myself up. Do you have a shower at Puffs of Doom?
Yes.
It's a very sticky situation going on.
Lots of big three-compartment sinks.
I understand.
Can I go home after this? This is awesome.
In your mind, you already have?
Yeah.
Mary Slowick's here, Taste of Chicago manager. All right, so we also have art and music, right?
Yes, we do. This year, we have a great lineup at the Petrillo Music Shell. We have Alessia Cara, Cafe Tacuba, Ben Harper and the Innocent Criminals, Passion Pit and the OJs. If you want reserved seating for those, you can go to tasteofchicago.us to get your tickets. But in addition to our main stage, we also have the Bud Light stage, which features all Chicago area talent.
Some great music.
It's incredible music, up and coming stars. Yep. We also have Stomping Ground Chicago this year, which is going to feature different dance troupes from around the city.
Most of them choreographed by me.
Remember to stretch. We have a street art and graffiti alley area this year where we're going to have street artists paint on canvases, which will then be displayed throughout the event.
Yeah, they won't be tagging the actual walls. No. They'll be tagging the canvas.
We're incorporating Summer Dance. It's a very popular program at Balbo in Michigan. That will be part of the Taste lineup this year.
Love Summer Dance.
And something new that we're doing this year is Sabor de Chicago, which will be on Thursday. And we will feature all Latin music, Latin chef demonstrations. Nacional 27 will be one of our chefs du jour.
Sure.
So we're excited about that. We're going to have special beverages that day. It'll be a lot of fun.
And there's a beer garden and a wine garden near Buckingham Mountain, which
there
is so nice.
Somebody came by and always, this question comes up all the time. If I don't have reserved seats or I miss out on reserved seats, can I still hear the music?
Yes.
As I'm walking around?
Yes. And
that
you can actually
area.
Sit on the lawn in Butler Field, and you don't have to pay for a ticket that way.
Yeah, so keep that in mind as well. Have you tried the puffs?
Yeah, they're fantastic. Yeah. I tried the sea salt caramel one, which is delicious.
It's really all you need. Where the recipes come from?
I made them.
So you're just experimenting?
Yeah. I love food, so I do a lot of eating, and I make my partner, Luke, taste test at 5 a.m.
Tough gig, buddy.
Yeah. I think he gained 40 pounds since we started.
Yeah, but in all the right places, he's doing just fine. Why puffs as opposed to other things? Because I assume you like to cook a lot of things.
I do, which is why we also started Doom Street, so we can play with the savory a little bit. But I like the science of cream puffs. It takes the science, and also it takes a little bit of love. So
what's the failure rate? Like, do you get annoyed if one doesn't work?
Oh, yeah. I'm a perfectionist, so I get pretty angry.
Give me like a flavor try you've tried to put together where it didn't work out.
Oh, good question.
Like kale and normal people food? Oh, sorry.
I tried to make a grape pastry cream, and grape and milk didn't really work out. So
sounds like
well.
A grape jam. It sounds like it would be.
Yes, but it was pretty gross.
Yeah.
Was it? Oh, actually, the worst thing I've ever made was a Malort caramel.
Oh, Malort, that's that liquor.
I ended up figuring it out, but the first try I put in a cup of Malort, and for anyone who's had Malort, that's a lot of Malort.
You're drunk before you even started.
Yeah, exactly.
Tough drink.
Samber?
As far as these pastries are concerned, is there certain temperatures and conditions that need to happen to make them successful? Because I know one time I was trying to do chocolate-dipped potato chips, and they weren't adhering, and I was told it was too humid. To, you know, that it wasn't a good condition for a chocolate dip potato chip.
Really?
There's a lot of wise tales.
You need Tom Skilling at your house to cook?
Things. Exactly.
You
know, hot weather doesn't help, but once you kind of get it dialed in, you're good to go.
But if I want to make alligator dogs, I don't need to worry about the humidity, do I?
Not really. No, they're pretty.
Heat is better.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, I got to ask you guys, too. I mean, we love the Taste. We pride ourselves on having the largest food festival in the country, maybe even the world. What is it about the Taste that makes you want to be there?
I like the cross-section of attendees. So it's the one place we go where the attendees are all different ages, races, sizes. And that's kind of
everybody gets to play.
Unique.
Yeah.
Andy, are you going to try the gator?
You know, I might be talked into that.
All right, let's do it. Let's bring it over to Andy Mazur.
See if it tastes like chicken.
And Andy's going to go ahead and try it right here. This is Andy, by the way. I'll get you guys to meet.
Try with a little bit of John.
All right, now while they're setting that up, Mary.
Yes.
How do you break the news to a restaurant they're not in?
Well, again, we work with our partners at the Illinois Restaurant Association who manage the food and beverage operation for us. But occasionally, you know, I mean, it's not an easy thing to do. And you hope that the restaurant or the food vendor will continue to apply. And
maybe next year.
Do you give them notes? Like, you know,
they get an email.
So it's an artist auditioning, but do you give them notes that say if you do this or that, maybe next year?
I don't think it goes into that.
That specific
detail,
right. But seriously, Steve, Mary Sloak and Mary May are two of the nicest people. If you're going to get bad news, like, hey, nice try, like kind of when you never make Sexiest Man Alive, you always come in like number
I'm
two.
I'm always running up. It's always a runner up. Yeah. Clooney again, whatever.
But wouldn't you rather have Marion Mary bring you that news?
Right. You feel better about it. Right. And is there a restaurant that people are going to look for this year that maybe they're going to be surprised that it's there? Like it's you're super excited about?
Well, we have a bunch of new restaurants this year. And food trucks. Food trucks were incorporated a couple years ago.
Oh, food trucks were a great idea to bring in.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
Yeah, they're a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So we have American Glory, Aztec Dave's, Broken English, Cheesy's Pub and Grub, El Patron. So we've got a lot of great new restaurants. And we have a lot of great chef du jour meals. I don't know if people are familiar with this, but you can have a three-course meal in an air-conditioned tent at Taste of Chicago for only like $45. So this year we have Chef Paul Fairbach from Big Jones, like I mentioned earlier, Chef Chico Vilches from Nacional 27.
I love Big Jones. Andersonville.
You just look on your face like you just won the lottery.
I know, but all these restaurants I love. Big Jones, Andersonville, Cajun, pork chops there.
All right, speaking of Cajun, how was your gator?
You know, it's got a little kick to it.
A little spice.
Even without the jardiniere, they had a little bit on the side there.
Oh, yeah, but could you taste the gator?
I could taste the gator. I think I had the eyes. Just kidding.
I'm just kidding.
It was beak. Good. It was very good.
That's a crock.
All right, so you like...
Well, if you like the gator, you got to come by the doghouse and try the kangaroo and rattlesnake sauce.
Wait a minute. Back the train up.
Wait a second.
You cook roux?
We have kangaroo, yes.
I didn't even know that was legal.
Oh,
there's a lot of kangaroos in Australia. I assume that's the regular thing.
Well, that's what I hear. I hear they run around like...
What does that taste like? Is it chewy?
Chickens that hop.
Chicken, yeah.
Pretty gamey, but it has a very...
Have you ever had venison?
We have venison every once in a while, yes.
Of course you do. But is it a venison kind of taste? Because people say venison.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, got it. You guys are fun.
Yeah.
Good to have you around. And the Puff the Magic Dragon here, fantastic. So... and thank you for taste testing as well.
You're very welcome.
Yes, on all levels. Mary's?
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I know
you.
It's going to be crazy busy, but
hope
thank
to
you
see
for
you
doing
out
it.
There.
Absolutely.
There. Definitely.
And for more information on all things taste, where do you send people?
Tasteofchicago.us.
All right. Easy to remember. And the news is next. The big story in a moment on CLTV and 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
720 WGN.
It is the Steve Cochran Show. We continue, and Bill and Wendy will be here at 10. A couple of political notes. Jason Chaffetz is leaving the United States House of Representatives and either going to end up on Fox News or possibly go into the private sector, maybe run for governor of Utah, several things. He took some pot shots at Donald Trump and Jeff Sessions as he was leaving. One of the things that I think really bothers people on the right or the left or the middle, where most of us, I think, truly live, are cowards. And Chaffetz has been a coward in politics. It's not hard to say. You know, this. You know, the equivalent of this is, and you know I'm no defender of Trump or Sessions, but the equivalent of this is I come to your house for a party. And then as I'm leaving the party, I go, well, the appetizers kind of sucked.
Yeah, right.
You know, and maybe you could have had the booze around for a little bit longer. Oh, but thanks for inviting me. Chaffetz is a guy who, after the Access Hollywood tape came out, said, I could never support Donald Trump. Never, ever, ever, ever. How could I look my daughters in the face? And then a week later, changed his mind, sucked up to Trump, didn't do his job in chasing down some of this Russian stuff when he could have as a leader on the House side. And then for whatever reason, he's leaving, and that's still sort of unclear.
Right.
Now hits him on the way out the door. You know, it's a cowardly thing to do.
It sounds like sour grapes. And he also took shots at the Obama administration, too, obviously. But then he said, well, Trump is worse than Obama. I mean, you're criticizing two former presidents. At least have a little dignity and go out saying, you know, this was an honor to serve my country. Something of that sort.
Well, yeah. And if you got an issue with Trump and you're not consistent about it, then take it up with him in private.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, it's not like you don't still have access. Last week, Amazon bought, they were just clearing up some here's and there's and some things we didn't have time to hit to on the other parts of the show. Last week, Amazon bought Whole Foods.
Yeah, how about that?
Now, the Tribune ran a story this morning, which I think is pretty fascinating, which I hadn't considered. One of the main reasons to buy Whole Foods and to take on Walmart's expansion of the Walmart grocery business may have been the idea that they could buy not only Whole Foods, but up to 450 cold storage and warehouse locations around the country.
Oh, makes sense.
Therefore, to make the Amazon distribution of their grocery side even easier.
Yeah.
There's a big distribution center I know going out in Aurora, which is a new one, Aurora here. And they need these pop-up places all the time because the key is fast delivery, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If I order something, especially groceries, if you order groceries from Amazon, you're going to need them tomorrow.
Right. And yeah, and Amazon, too, is now doing Amazon Fresh, which you can, it's like a Peapod. You know, you can kind of
order
food
delivered all right away.
Yeah. And there's certain, you know, like Seattle Sutton, there's certain diet groups or food programs that they have now where you can, they'll deliver your food to you.
Amazon and Walmart are going to be in this fight for a while, but the Amazon move for Whole Foods may change Whole Foods pretty significantly.
Yeah.
Like Whole Foods, I think part of the reason people shop at Whole Foods is because, let's be honest, they feel better about themselves when they shop at Whole Foods. And it's not just a health thing. Folks who want to spend more money go to Whole Foods. Folks who wanted to, folks who don't want to consort with the riffraff like me at Jewel, go to Whole Foods. And by the way, I go to Whole Foods as well. But I'll go to Whole Foods for, you know, fruit or something quick. Or,
right, right.
You know, I want to pick up something that's no fuss, no muss. It's already sort of pre-made for the barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll run into Whole Foods. But I'm not going into Whole Foods for self-esteem. But I think there is a grocery self-esteem thing that goes on. And part of it is the health part of it, fraudulent or accurate. And the rest of it is, if you can spend more money, sometimes spending more money makes you feel better about yourself.
Yeah, I agree with that. Absolutely. But now do you think people go, so they'll go to Whole Foods for fruit or, you know, Jewel for canned food. I mean, people, I think, have their certain source, or Mariano's for whatever they choose to. Now there's more of an option out there, but maybe people go for specialty foods at these certain places.
Whole Foods, I suppose so. But I think one of the things that are going to concern people is Amazon is all about fast and cheaper.
Yeah.
Whole Foods is not about cheaper.
No.
So if you change the Whole Foods model and you make Whole Foods cheaper because it's owned by Amazon, do you take away some of the cachet that causes people to go to Whole Foods? You know, how many times have you bought something that cost more money and you thought, well, I'm getting something better because I paid more for it?
Yeah, right, right.
Right?
So get what you pay for thing?
Yeah. So if you take that away from the Whole Foods thing, not that Amazon said they're going to do this, but if that's what it turns out to be, then I don't know that you're going to be able to salvage the Whole Foods biz.
And what about the smaller grocery store chains like Kroger and Aldi, Pete's Fresh Market?
Aldi's killing
places.
I literally have been into Aldi about twice in my life, and not because, you know, I'm snooty. It's just it's not a convenient thing for me.
Yeah.
But Aldi is crushing it.
They're doing well.
Yeah. Their stock price is through the roof. Their market share continues to go up. You know, who's really suffering through all of this from a grocery standpoint is Target. Because Target tried to turn those Target stores into grocery stores as well.
Yeah.
And first they're getting killed by Walmart.
Yes.
And then Aldi comes along. And I have a buddy of mine who's a big-time rep for Target.
Mm-hmm.
And Target's kind of a mess from the inside out.
Yeah.
They got problems at the top in management. And you go into Target. Remember you used to go into Target? You go into Target, you spend $8. Mm-hmm. And you walk out, you actually spend $108.
Exactly.
It's not like that anymore. People are going to Costco and they end up doing
right,
that. People are going to other places.
And Target prices aren't as, I don't want to say cheap. Target's pricing isn't as cost effective as, say, another retail.
Well, Target
giant,
had
like
a great
Walmart.
Place, right? Target had a great place they were living forever. Target wasn't Walmart. They were in, and they weren't Nordstrom. They were right in the middle, but they were a little more upscale. Like, you right. could get cool stuff at Target that you couldn't get in other places.
You can get clothes there.
But, like, they're kind of like Kohl's, actually. Target yeah. is for... But Kohl's has so many coupons, excellent deals, you know, all the time.
Yeah, but you know what? John DeCoste made a point about Kohl's, which is funny. You check out at Kohl's, right? And Kohl's goes, you saved. You saved $250. I go, well, you make the prices up.
Exactly.
How do I know what
yeah.
I saved?
Yeah. And I don't like the fact they give you these coupons or Kohl's cash, whatever, but there's all these stipulations. Like, you can only use it 1 week from now for a day.
Yeah, and then you forget. And you forget
I
you
mean,
have
who
it
does?
In your wallet. You're like, yeah. oh, I just lost $30 in Kohl's cash.
It's really not tough on Mike Jacobson because he only buys his clothes.
I know. I feel bad saying that, but.
The layout at Target, they made all the aisles so wide.
Yeah.
It feels like you're at something higher end than whatever, you know, because it's not all.
Well, here's what you need
but
at Target.
But there's less stuff at Target, it seems to me.
There is less. Well, there's too much stuff at Walmart.
I don't
well,
know,
there's
you
too
guys.
Much at Walmart, less at
No, I think yeah. there's two Targets in the city. One's in West Loop, one's in South Loop, that are huge. They're two levels.
Yeah.
they are ginormous. And in fact, I think the opposite. I'm like, there's so much going on here.
But you don't have double-decker targets in the burbs.
They carry the right Bounty paper towels that I like, the big pack.
But here's the thing. When you go into a Walmart, you got to be prepared to go through the tight aisles and everything. But here's the thing. You get a Walmart. You check out at Walmart. There's going to be people up front or the self-check things. There's always monitors up there to watch it. There's been many times, and I'm a Target fan. There's been many times I'm just trying to get out of Target, and I'm waiting for somebody to come up in front.
Yeah.
You know, I'm waiting for, especially if it's busy. If it's busy, you got two aisles open, you got 47 people in each line.
Right.
Yeah. Walmart checks you out, and then they check your receipt as you're leaving the.
Yeah.
Sometimes if you're leaving, like Patrick and I bought baseballs in a bucket, and they had to check it.
And one of the things about Costco that I can't stand is I want a bag.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
I want a bag. Oh, yeah. I want something for my stuff. I don't want to just, you know, a box, and then I got to take the individual items out. But the fact is, I go into Costco, I'm always dropping a ton of dough because there's always stuff you want. And by the way, you're always going to have half of it left over.
Oh, my God, completely. But now you know why Costco is looking so good, because in the city, you need to bring your own bags
anyway.
So how many times have I gone into the Jewel? Because I don't have plastic bags in my car. Now I do. But
$0.07.
Go in, and then you can put everything in the cart, just like Costco now, and just carry it right out to your car.
Then it rolls around your car, though, right?
I know.
I think Aldi doesn't have bags, does it?
Don't they give you boxes? Like, let me tell you something about boxes at Aldi.
Aldi, because I went to a Catholic school, they had bingo. You know, bingo is how you raise money. Yeah.
Aldi had bingo? That all
the time. No, my St. Joe's did. And so my parents, they had two children, so they had to work two bingos a year. And so my mom would have to go to Aldi for the food. That's what they did. And they had the best barbecue potato chips. So I loved when my parents were on bingo duty. Because we would get to
get the Aldi chips.
The Aldi brand barbecue chips. I was addicted to them, but I only got to go when we were on bingo duty. So twice a year I was.
How are you in great shape? Because you look fabulous. Because you eat like a linebacker.
I do. I have a terrible.
You got to have the metabolism of an 18-year-old boy.
No. But she exercises a lot.
I do. You know what,
that's
though?
The key.
I'm 41. Things are changing. I don't know. Oh, it's not.
Yeah. I hate to break it to you, and Mary's the exception.
Gravity.
Wait till you hit 50.
Oh, yeah.
Just
it's
wait.
Like knees crack, back cracks.
Yeah.
What the heck did that happen?
You know the thing, like a second on the lips, forever on the hips, or whatever that thing is?
Yeah.
And when you're a 50-year-old male, it gets second on the lips, straight to your gut. Yeah. Yeah.
No, not you guys. Come on.
9:55, we'll come back, and Bill and Wendy will join us next. And I'm glad we figured out all of the problems of the world. But here's the deal. Amazon now owns Whole Foods.
Yes.
Walmart and Amazon are in a huge fight over the grocery business. Target's confused. Aldi's doing great. Huh? There's a summation.
Nice work.
Yeah.
I'm so confused.
Yeah, and I'll be at Jewel later. It's 9:55 and 720 WGN.